And we begin another week on Culture File with everything the English poet Samuel Taylor Coleridge knew about the drawbacks of working from home in the very latest of Owen Nolan's slightly unreasonable points of view.
The Xanadus and Don'ts of Remote Working. It's estimated that over 200,000 people work remotely in Ireland, or more than the population of Waterford and Galway put together. That doesn't mean that all Waterford and Galway are working from home. Many could be in official shared or co-working spaces, libraries, cafes, or park benches. Some jobs, of course, have historically had scant choice about working from home or not. Farmers, for instance, traditionally do little commuting. And what Patrick Kavanagh called the standing army of 10,000 Irish poets, when not gazing out the windows of banks or classrooms in their day jobs, have probably been versifying in the box room. One poet synonymous with the drawbacks of working from home is Samuel Taylor Coleridge. In 1797, Coleridge was living in a Somerset cottage when he awoke from an opium-induced haze with an entire poem in his head, the remnant of a vivid dream of Chinese Emperor Kublai Khan and the building of Xanadu, his summer palace. The 200,000 people working remotely in Ireland will know just how important it is to transcribe immediately when you wake from this sort of a drug-fueled haze after watching Holmes Under the Hammer. Coleridge was able to get only 54 lines down intact before being interrupted by a person from the nearby town of Porlock who called on business. The caller may or may not have been an insurance salesman. History is a bit vague on the subject. Either way, he stayed quite a while, and when he left, Coleridge, try as he might, could recall no more of the lines from the dream and had to complete the rest without the aid of unprompted recall. While the person from Porlock became infamous as the unwanted intruder who disrupted inspired creativity, fellow poets have not always been kind about Coleridge's woe, with Stevie Smith suggesting that he was actually just stuck, and Robert Graves wishing the person from Porlock had got around a bit more and interrupted some other poets at critical junctures. Work from home today, as the combined population of Waterford and Galway know, and you're more likely to find inspiration punctuated by the person from Porlock calling to read the gas meter or the electric meter. That's a result of a residual 1970s Ireland still running in the background like an earlier operating system, one that assumes there is a housewife at home. Meanwhile, our increasing adoption of online shopping, combined with very small letterboxes, means you may not get further than
where Alf, the sacred river, ran through caverns measureless to man down to a sunless sea.
Before the front door is besieged by postmen and couriers from Porlock and beyond. One of the issues with working remotely was captured well in a recent New Yorker magazine cartoon by David Cypress. A female figure stands at the door of a home office where a man sits at an untidy desk with computer and printer, surrounded by stacks of paper and other trappings of working life. He's looking at her in puzzlement and asking, "I can't remember. Do I work at home or do I live at work? Still, isn't it very nice of all those businesses to let their staff work remotely?" Not really. Most companies, like most teenage boys, only do things because A, they want to do them, or B, they have to do them. Remote working is most often contract working, which can mean that it's the lot of the precarious proletariat, aka the precariat, the driving force behind the gig economy. So commuting isn't a factor, and it can promote a healthier lifestyle, but those benefits are offset by the sword of Damocles hanging over contract workers. It's a double-edged sword, because while there's no commute, fewer meetings, and the illusion of self-determination, there is usually also no healthcare, no pension, no holidays, no mat leave, no pat leave, no childcare, no sick pay, no bonus, no water cooler, no toilet breaks, no union, and no ability to plan 6 months ahead. Xanadu, as described by Marco Polo, was indeed a stately pleasure dome featuring both a marble palace and another vast palace made entirely of cane that may have been the world's first glamping. Kublai Khan went to his cane palace for those few months of the year it became too hot in his other palaces. On the 28th of August each year, as the temperature fell, the whole cane palace was dismantled, packed away like summer chairs. And so the great Khan, after a season of ruling remotely, went back to head office.
The slightly unreasonable point of view of Owen Nolan there. And did you know you can now find Owen's previous SupPods, along with every new Culturefile, on Spotify? Search for Culturefile on Spotify and then like and follow if you like the programme and you want to follow it.